Well, it's good to see all of you. And you could turn in your Bibles to Luke's Gospel, chapter 11. That's Luke's Gospel, chapter 11. Now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." And so Jesus said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one.'" And then Jesus said to them, "Which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he will answer from within and say, 'Do not trouble me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give it to you, or give to you, rather. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. So I say to you, ask, and you will find, knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Let's pause and let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time that we can study your word together. I pray, Lord, that you would give us eyes to see, ears to hear what your Spirit is saying to us. Give us a deeper and more clear understanding of what's being said here, what you're teaching. And Lord, I pray that this would enrich our prayer life. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I would like to ask you this morning to allow me the liberty of being fluid with the text. I'll show you what I mean. Verse 1. Now it came to pass. Aren't you glad that things come to pass and that things don't come to stay? How many times can you look back in your life when something came and it was difficult? And you were praying, "God, why? God, how long? God, is this it? Is it over? Is this the new normal?" And now you can look back and you could say, "Wow, God, by your grace, that that came and that went. I mean, how many times can you look back in your life? You know, and the fact of the matter is that everything comes to pass. It doesn't come to stay. Even one day, you are going to come to that point where you pass. And everything of this world won't matter. That day you will come to pass, and really all that will matter, all that will last, is what you've done with Christ. Everything that you've done with Christ, that will last. But the things of this world, they come to pass. So if you're going through something right now, just be reminded that this too shall pass. But won't, wit, hold on while I work out my Puerto Rican. What will last is your prayers. Your prayers will last. Check this out. This is so fascinating. Turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 5. Look at verse 8. Now when he, that of course is the Lamb, the Lion, Jesus, had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense. And listen to what is revealed that these things are. That is the incense, what it is. Full of incense, which are, notice, the prayers of the saints. The prayers of the saints. See, prayer is something that is not carnal. It's not humanly. It's spiritual. And our Lord has taught us this. Prayer has eternal value and will last. Our prayers are going already before us, and they're being collected. And to God, it's an aroma. Your prayers are an aroma to God. It's a special thing. Prayer is powerful. So many things will come to pass. Well, your prayers, they will last. Now, this brings us to our text. I'm done with being fluid. Back in Luke's gospel. And such a wonderful and rich topic, prayer. It tells us in verse 1 that Jesus was praying. Tells us he was praying in a certain place. It doesn't tell us what the place is specifically, because it doesn't matter where you pray. Some people think, well, I got to be at church to pray. That's not true. The place is not what matters, but it's the praying. And the beautiful thing about praying is you can pray anywhere. Any place can be the place of prayer. When you're hurting, in the workplace, maybe you didn't get the job, you got looked over, and you're discouraged, you're frustrated. You can turn all that into prayer that lasts for eternity. When someone hurt you in your family, you don't have to retaliate, but you can pray. You know, prayer is powerful. It's transformative. Prayer changes things. One of the most powerful things about prayer is that prayer changes me. Prayer changes the person. Maybe the circumstances won't change, but man, what and how powerful it is to have a changed perspective, a changed attitude. How powerful it is when through prayer you can take those thoughts that could be disabling, and you can pray, and those thoughts become captive to the Lord, and He gives you peace. So the place doesn't matter. It's praying, and praying right. And Jesus, He was one who prayed. Let's take a little journey. Look at Luke's gospel, same gospel, chapter 3. Verse 21. When all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And notice, while He prayed, the heaven was opened. Look at verse 16 of chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 16. So He, Jesus Himself, often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. Look at chapter 6, verse 12. Now it came to pass in those days that He, that is Jesus, went out to the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer. And notice this, and I think this is important, to God. Just a little bunny trail. Have you ever been in a prayer meeting and you can tell that the person's not praying to God, they're praying to the people that are there? Maybe trying to impress the people with their prayers. Jesus prayed to God, and that's who we should pray to, God. Look at chapter 9, verse 18. And it happened, as Jesus was alone praying, that His disciples joined Him. Now look at Luke 10, verse 21. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit and said, or and prayed. And in his prayer, notice, he said, I thank You, Father. Praying to God, our Father. So Jesus had a wonderful, rich prayer life. And now we're back in chapter 11. And when Jesus stopped praying, it tells us that one of His disciples said to Him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. We don't know who this one disciple is, but I'm so glad that he had this request. Because as a result of this request, Jesus gives a wonderful teaching about prayer. This disciple, he saw the prayer life of Jesus, that it was rich, it was different. And so he has this request, Lord, teach us to pray. He mentions John and how John taught his disciples, and it was not an unusual thing that rabbis and spiritual leaders would teach their disciples to pray. You see, even in this gospel earlier on, there were some that went up to the Lord and they said, John's disciples pray and fast, and so do the disciples, if you would, of the Pharisees. But in regards to John's disciples, they were known to pray. And so, this disciple here of Jesus says, Lord, teach us to pray. And so, Jesus, he said to them, one asked, but the direction is for all disciples. And he said, when you pray. It's not that they didn't pray. It's not like he's saying, hey, well, let me teach you how to pray because you don't pray. Let me teach you how to pray. And that's not what the disciple was asking. Teach us how to pray. It's more of the idea of teach us to be praying. You ever struggle praying? I want to grow. I think this is such a timely message for me, for all of us. Not that we don't pray, but that we would be praying consistently, having an attitude of prayer. And so he says to them, when you pray, here's a framework. Here's a framework. Be praying. Be people of prayer. And in your praying, let me give you a framework. This is not just like a model prayer, and you just pray this without any kind of genuineness, or these are just words to repeat, and then you know you're going to get what you want if you just mimic this. That's not what he's saying. He's not giving these words to recite. It's a framework to work from. Now, if you're a note taker, then you're better than the rest of us. But if you are a note taker, I want to give you some things. I guess you can sum these phrases into different words, and they would be right as long as they're consistent with the text. But I've chosen these words, and I'm going to give you a heads up. They're all R's. They're not going to be on the screen. So you're going to have to grab your pen right now. If you're a note taker, get ready. Here we go. He says, when you pray, and the first thing is praying relationally. Relationally. When you pray, think relationship. Remember what Jesus said, I thank you, Father. And then he teaches his disciples, which this must have been just something so wonderful for them to hear these words, because most of us, when we think of God, there's a fear, right? Maybe initially, now that you've been walking with the Lord for some time, you've grown as a child to see him as your Father. But Jesus, he wants us to understand that as children, that's what we are. We who are in Christ, we are children of God, and God is our Father. Our Father. And it doesn't matter what kind of father you've had here on the earth. Maybe you had a good father. Maybe you had an absent father. Maybe you had a bad father. That has nothing to do with God. God is the perfect Father. You have a heavenly Father who loves you. And he is approachable. We have direct access to God, our Father, because we are in Christ, because we are children of God. So this is the first thing he mentions. I want you to think relationally, family, and God as Father. And then there's not only the relational aspect, there's the reverential aspect. That's the second R, just in case you're wondering. Sometimes after service, people say, you said there's things, but I never caught them. And it's not on your part. That's on my part because I fail to make them clear. So number two, there's that reverential. There's a Puerto Rican again. And I love Puerto Ricans. You know why? Because I am one. Obvious. But I don't love them any more than anybody else. We are all one race, the human race. And with that in mind, that is the reverence aspect, he says, hallowed be your name. God is our Father, and just like a father deserves honor and respect because he's different than anybody else on the planet. He's set apart as a dad, humanly speaking. How much more is our Heavenly Father? He's not one to fear in a sense of terror, but to reverence and to respect and to honor. And to honor his name. That's why we as Christians should never take the Lord's name in vain. We should always honor God with our words. And then the third thing is the reign aspect. Not like today, which is, in my opinion, and that's all it is, it's an opinion. It's a horrible day out there. That cold, wet rain falling on your face. If you wear glasses, on your glasses. It's so upsetting. We're talking about rule reign, the rule, because God has a kingdom, and his son is the king of the kingdom, and he's the ruler of the kingdom. And so he says, when you pray, not only think of the relationship you have with God, and not only set him apart as reverent, have that reverence for him, but also think of his reign. And pray, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that gives us hope because we know that this is only temporary. It's not going to always be like this. There's not going to always be such hostility against parties or against ideologies. There's not going to always be this turmoil and among men and the danger that we deal with on a regular basis or the fear of something happening. I mean, just not too long ago, there was concern that because the SNAP benefits were going to be cut, people were going to start snapping and looting. And it's probably happened in some places. Actually, it has happened. That's not going to be a part of the equation under the Lord's reign. And it gives us something to pray forward, to pray towards. Your kingdom come. Your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. And it's going to happen. And all of these things in this section, these prayers have to do with God first, if you notice. And then he moves towards the practical and our needs. So the fourth thing is reliance upon God in our prayers for our own needs. Give us day by day our daily bread. And that's something that God wants of us, regardless of whatever position or status we're in. I would imagine that in those days it was tougher to survive. It was tougher to survive, at least for them than it is for us. We're pretty blessed here in this country, aren't we?
Yes.
And that could be a problem because we become more self-sufficient instead of relying upon the Lord. But God wants us to rely upon him for our daily needs. And he says that day by day, it's a day by day reliance upon him for our needs. Then also he talks about the interpersonal aspect of prayer. And in that he talks about, here's the next thing, repentance. And how important it is to have a heart that repents. And it tells us quite a few things about us as disciples and as people in general. But he says, forgive us our sins. And notice, he doesn't say that sin is a might happen. It's just a given. All of us sin. That's why he includes us and ours. Forgive us our sins. Every one of us is a sinner. And the worst thing that a sinner could do is to make pretend that he's perfect or she's perfect. It's the greatest, I guess, example in the most negative way of hypocrisy. We're all sinners, every single one of us. And so he says, when you pray, ask for forgiveness. Have a repentant heart. And because God is merciful and he forgives you, also have a repentant heart, or rather a forgiving heart towards your fellow brethren. Remember, he said, if your brother sins against you and he comes back even seven times and he says, hey, I'm sorry, putting it in my own words, forgive. And he's teaching the importance of having a heart that forgives others, because we've offended God, we've sinned against God, and God has forgiven us, and people are going to sin against us. See, we aren't sinners because we sin. We are sinners because, wait, I'll get it right. We are not sinners because we sin. We sin because we're sinners. That's who we are at the core. And so people are going to sin against us. And we have to have a heart that is like God and is able to forgive. And we don't have the time to get into it. It doesn't mean that we're called to be doormats and get taken advantage of. That's not what Jesus teaches in the scriptures. And he even says that if someone sins against you and they don't repent, and he gives you a way to handle that. But when somebody is sorry, and they're genuinely sorry for what they've done, we must forgive. It's good for us mentally, emotionally, spiritually. And if we don't forgive, we're going to have a hard time having a relationship with God. We have to have a heart of forgiveness. It doesn't matter who it is. And forgiveness and restoration are two different things. And I'll cut it with this. When we forgive, we always must forgive. And then when it comes to trust, well, that's a different nature. You don't trust someone if they're not repentant. You got to be careful. There's trust when people repent. And when people repent, it's because they're sorry for what they've done. And if people don't repent, there's nothing wrong with putting boundaries. You got to keep boundaries. But if someone's genuinely sorry, then they won't continue to offend you, not willfully. But we must always forgive and always have an attitude of forgiveness and wanting to be reconciled. And in general, that's what he's saying. And then we move from repentance to rescue. He says, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. God, rescue me from myself. In other words, please, God, if I'm ever put in a situation where I'm being tempted, God, rescue me from failing you and from sinning against you. Help me, God, rescue me. And help me rescue me from the evil one. What a beautiful framework that our Lord lays out for us. And then he wants to further etch this within the hearts of the disciples. And so he gives them these illustrations. And he said to them, verse 5, which of you shall have a friend? Notice, a friend is a good thing. And go to him at midnight, that's not a good thing, and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. Now, we don't have the time to get into the culture and all that, but we'll just get through these verses here. And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut. It's late. Everything's locked down. It's shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot rise to give to you. It's too much trouble. I'm going to disrupt the whole household. I'm sorry. No, a friend might say that. But then Jesus says, I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence. So come on, man. They're going to be here. I just found out they're like a mile away. Come on, bro. Come on. I'm not going to leave until you give it to me. All right. He says, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. Notice that, needs. Here you go. What do you need? What do you need? You said 3 loaves. Here's 3. Give me 5. Okay, here, just take it. And so he now lands it on the application. He says, so, like, and likewise, this individual is persistent. So likewise, I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it will be open to you. For, notice this, I love this. Everyone who asks. That's the condition, ask. Yeah, but I'm not a pastor. Everyone who asks. Well, I'm not as good as that person appears on the outside. The conditions are asking. And everyone who asks, everyone who seeks finds, and everyone who knocks, it will be open. And the idea is of you keep knocking. Like that guy, come on, man, give me the bread. Not that we would go to God irreverently. That's not what he's teaching. But he's talking about that sense of you continue. Be praying. Keep praying. And don't quit. Keep knocking, keep seeking, keep asking. And then again, he illustrates, if a son, notice the relationship. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? And to each of those questions, the obvious answer is what? Let's hear it. What is it? No. And it's fascinating because Jesus goes from the practical. That is, God does care about your needs. Not your greeds, but your needs. And he will provide for your needs, your human needs. You ask him, you seek him, you knock, and you ask, and God will provide for you. But there's another need that's even greater, and that's your spiritual need. And there's a great gift that God gives for you to enable you to live the spiritual life that God saved you for. And notice how he transitions from the practical, the human, the temporary, to the spiritual, the eternal. And notice how he lands it. And he says, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. Notice what the gifts are. Bread, fish, an egg. So kids, if you get bread for a Christmas present this year, or an egg, be grateful. Those are good gifts. But look at how he lands it. How much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Remember what Paul said, be ye being filled with the Holy Spirit. See, because when you are being filled with the Holy Spirit, and you're growing as a child of God because of your fellowship with the Spirit of God, you become more secure in your relationship with God the Father, because his Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And because of his Spirit, we can cry out and say, Abba, Father. And when you are filled with the Spirit of God gives you that reverence And you see God as holy, as set apart. And your Father is holy and set apart. And because you are in Christ, what does that make you? Holy and set apart, faultless, blameless in his sight. And the Spirit of God, through the Word of God, reminds you of who you are in God. It's the Spirit of God that helps us to understand the things of the kingdom. We call it eschatology, but it's the Spirit of God that helps us to understand the timeline. I wish we had more time. But we've talked about these things in the past, but it's the Spirit of God that gives you that sense that Jesus is coming to establish his kingdom. And I'm going to pray for that end. It's the Spirit of God who, when we trust him, he helps us to navigate through those things practically. When we have, as he says, give us day by day our daily bread, or maybe when we don't have as much as we would like, we have to learn how to be content. And it's the Spirit of God that helps us to learn to be content. It's the Spirit of God that helps us to forgive and moves us to repentance. He moves us to say, God, forgive me. And God, help me to forgive those who've sinned against me. It's the Spirit of God who, when we are being tempted, we can rely upon God's Spirit to empower us, to enable us to have strength over not only temptation, but the evil one. As the scriptures tell us, and the Spirit would lead us to resist the devil. And the way to do that is by submitting to God. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And so more than anything, when it comes to prayer, we need a continual dependence upon the Spirit of God. When it comes to prayer, the most powerful prayer is being led by the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit. That is praying under the influence of God's Spirit. And know that our Father wants to fill us afresh. He wants to bless us with every good and perfect thing he has, and it's the Spirit of God, as we depend upon him in prayer, that teaches us all the wonderful blessings our loving Father has bestowed upon his children. Let's all stand. Father, we thank you for your goodness and grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your kindness. You are holy and pure, and there is no one like you, our God, our Father. We honor you. And we express our honor through our adoration as we worship you. God, teach us to pray. Help us to depend upon your Spirit, to abide in you. In Jesus' name, amen.